Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're facing something right now, and we got to start getting a, you know, what does God want us to do with this? Because, you know, if in fact, you know, when you die and you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and he really is the Lord of your life, I mean, you're going to go, everybody's going to go stand before the judgment seat, but we're going to go, but we're going to have eternal life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to live in this place that God's mm-hmm. preparing for us. But what does he want us to do here? How does he want us to respond to what's going on here? And, you know, according, we'll just say, Rick Joyner, not Pat, me. But he said, you know, most people are not discipled. And which means most people really don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And out of a survey that was taken at their conferences, and these are serious people at their conferences, 80-something, 90-something percent, whatever it was, didn't even know what their call is, what they needed to do. And it's like, what? I mean, which means we don't really know what to do necessarily. So we got to start pondering. And we're just talking out loud. We're learning out loud, as you can tell. Look at our apology area in the recording. But, you know, think about this. So all this stuff's going on. You know, what do we do? And then you start thinking about, okay, what did Jesus say? You know, get in the Gospels again. And Jesus, read the red letters. Jesus specifically said, hey, I have expectation of you. I give you something. There's something that I've given you. That there's going to be a day I'm going to come back, or you're going to meet me, whichever one comes first. And I'm going to ask you, what did you do for what I gave you? It could be this, it could be that. It could be one, it could be 10, it could be 30. And it's a parable about that. And so Jesus says, you know, he's going to leave one this and one that and one this. And then he's going to come back and he's going to say, what did you do in your life? What did you do when America was in trouble? What did you do when your family was in trouble? What did you do when the storm was coming? When you heard all my prophets declaring, a storm is coming. What did you do with your business and your finance and with these seven mountains of culture that we talk about, religion and family and education and government and media, arts and entertainment and business? What did you do with it? And two of them say, this is Jesus having this conversation. Two of them say, you know, you gave me this and I doubled it. And one of them said, you know, I was just so fearful when I heard those words. And, you know, I was fearful that I couldn't pay my bills. And I was fearful, whatever. And everything ended up with, I didn't do anything with it. And I just hoarded everything that I had, including the knowledge of God that I had. And I buried it in my heart. I buried it in my house. I buried it in my job. I buried it in my stuff, you know. And he's going to say, you wicked and slothful, lazy servant, right? That's what he said. He said, you could have at least done something. Well, you could have done something with it. And then think about it. He says, if you're ashamed of me, if you're ashamed to run your business and say, this is a Christian, this is a business that runs on God's principles, do you really think that God's going to be okay with you coming into his kingdom? Think about that. He says, if you're ashamed of him before men, he's going to be ashamed of you before the Father. By the way, let me tell you who his Father is. He's the creator of everything. Mm-hmm. We cannot be ashamed of him. We've got to begin to say, one thing we need to start doing is like, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm not a conservative. What other people are saying is like, they'd rather be called a conservative than a Christian. What is the political terminology? Christian means Christ follower. I'm a Christian. You know, I make mistakes. I'm not, you know, as good as John at this thing, but I am walking this thing out. You know, I am, all of us, you know, we're all on our own journey. And so that's one thing you got to do. I got to openly say, I follow Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, we got to find out, what does that really mean? I mean, you can make a decision to follow Christ, but then you got to find out what that means. And that's when Jesus said, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded them, which means I've got to learn his expectations of me and I have to walk in them. Mm-hmm. That's called being his disciple. So I get discipled. That's the next step. No, you're not expected to know everything the moment that you say yes to him. But yes to him means, okay, what does he say? Learn his teachings. So that's what you do. You learn his teachings. And his teachings are not rules and regulations to be able to save you. It's the wisdom of God in your life to be able to do what he wants to do. So you actually can be fruitful in this life that he's called you to show yourself and bring glory to the Father through your life. John 15, he talks about that. And so that's another thing. We've got to be a disciple. Okay, we got to say, you know, I kind of quit saying I'm a Christian when I'm embarrassing the church by saying I'm a Christian. but I'm living in contrary to all the teachings of Jesus. I'm like the 81%, according to George Barna, who don't even pick their Bibles up at all. Well, I'm declaring I know God and what he says. Well, my life is a deep contradiction. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we can do, and this is what John Paul Jackson talks about when he talks about the 33 things about the storm that was coming and the perfect storm type thing, was how do you do warfare during a time like this? Do what I'm talking about. Live a life that's right before God, that's humble before God, that's repented before God. And one thing that we do is just you got to always be ready to repent, because you just never know. I mean, God will unfold things over time. And you just got to stay humble. And it's better to over-repent than to never repent. Right. Believe me. Probably go, I've done it 6.5 times. It's enough, right? Stay in humble before God. And so one of the things that we can do, the warfare that we can have for our nation in America, is to actually start living like Christians. Mm. And it's actually easier not to. It's because there's so much debauchery. There's so much darkness. There's so many things that says, you know, wrong is right and right is wrong. And you could just blend in. There's enough people that are talking, just like you heard on our earlier program, I believe, you know, from Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence, when he said this is an urgent warning, but people are not giving urgent warnings when they see the storms coming because they're worried about offending someone. Right. Believe me, they're going to be more offended with you for not telling them when you knew. Or maybe you don't know and you need to find out, and that's available to you on the tour. So one way to do this is say, you know, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Then I'm going to start being with other believers, not other people who just profess to be Christian. I'm going to hang around people who hang around, who get on the cross, who say, here I am. You know, they don't hang around the cross, but they get on it, and they say, I'm going to do what Jesus said. I'm going to deny myself. Let's just do what Jesus said. And so that's one thing you can do, because then you're going to be encouraged, and that's the only place that love one another's can happen back, because you're in the body of Christ, and you are loving. So whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to Jesus. So you know, if somebody is the devil's child, they're not Jesus' child. So we go out and we win them. We tell them about the love of God, and we it's called evangelism. But the body, you know, we love Jesus by loving his body. We love everybody, but we cannot diss the church or be separated right. from her and learn this thing. So then, you know, getting this koinonia, you know, you're bringing something to the table, they're bringing something to the table. That's another thing. Begin to, and God manifests in that. Does he not manifest in that?
That's powerful.
But when you hear, I'm telling you, and if you want to see how this works, you know, this is one thing that the VFN Dream Center, that we're walking out, and we're willing to have whatever it takes to be able to do exactly what we're talking about, and just God lead us in it. The moment you get this, God goes finally and shows up in a powerful way. Mm-hmm. And so then, okay, that's another thing you can do. So if we just start being what we're supposed to be, what we profess to be, it's going to be a strong positive hold in America of light. And then you're going to find people are going to start coming to your light, because it's going to get darker and darker. Mm-hmm. He says, the glory of the Lord is on you. The light is upon you. And people are going to come to your light. We're called children of the light. So when we leave our life of darkness, we enter into the light. We not only profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, but we become followers of Jesus Christ. Then we hang around those who are following him. Then we say, you know what? Now I'm going to do what he said. We get back from the break. We're going to talk about, you know, making disciples of a nation, because right now things are happening where, you know, you hear Christians doubting, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? And when a lot of people are leaving these parts of culture and just turning them over, thinking they're doing a righteous thing. They're like just leaving the school system. And it's like, who are you leaving it to?
Right.
You know, you're just turning that part of our culture over to darkness versus sticking, staying, and standing and being the light. So what do we do? I mean, what do you got all these things happening. You have, you know, a nation's values are changing rapidly, and new gods are trying to be established, and those gods' values trying to be established, and Christians are being asked to bow down, you know, business owners and government, all these different mountains of culture, you know, religion, family, education, government, media, arts, entertainment, and business. They're all being challenged. All these mountains are being challenged, these spheres of influence that will disciple a nation. It'll either disciple it for darkness or it'll disciple it for light. Mm-hmm. And so what you're seeing is these huge things being challenged. And when somebody says, you know, the Constitution says I can pray in school, so I'm going to pray in school. But somebody says, God bless you, in a school in Tennessee, And the teacher sends her to the principal's office.
Right.
And they just said, bless you, actually. They didn't say, God, yeah. bless you.
Right.
And so that's a challenge. That is, okay, will I continue to honor God when I'm in this mountain of culture called education? Or will I just say, you know what, I'm going to take my kid. And I don't think you should send your kids to be able to fight your battles. And that's what the church has really done. Well, should we withdraw ourselves? No, you should show up at the PTA meeting, and you should be the light. Don't just throw your kid to the fire. It's actually you show up and run for the council. You show up and until they get if that school is that whack, you don't send your kid who's being formed and discipled into this place. So, no, I'm talking about you as an adult. You know, what would you do? And if you're a teacher, for example, do you just walk out or do you stay? And if you walk out, it's just going to get more darker. We're just turning over education to more and more darkness versus, you know, we're called to go into the world and be the light of the world. And so we got to figure out what are we going to do? And so you have businesses now, and, you know, businesses are being challenged where they're saying, you know, bakers are being challenged where they say, you know, we want you to bake a cake for something that's going to promote something that you say your God says is wrong and it'll be sin for you to do it, but we're going to force you to be able to do this thing. And so that dilemma is on is like, you know, this is a part of culture. This is the business mountain. This is the business part of a culture. And whoever controls, you know, or has major influence in this part of culture really affects all the other six mountains because that's where the wealth is found in doing business. And so everything, including the religious mountains, is affected by that because that's where tithes and offerings and gifts come from, is from people doing business and that type of thing, and God blessing them. And so, you know, what do you do with that? And what I'm noticing some people do, and I totally understand it, they're just quitting their job. But if you quit your job, you just turned over that. If that, just imagine these things being like seven mountains. You know, you got the mountain of government, the mountain of religion, you know, the mountain of family, the mountain of government, you know, all these seven mountains. And it's like, so people are trying to play king in the mountain. You know, as a kid, you would do that. And finally, you go, well, I'm just not going to fight this fight anymore. I'm not going to stand up anymore for this. Just take the mountain. Well, you know, this is not a game. This is an entire nation. And he's called us to, Jesus said, go make disciples of nations. And whoever is in these empowerment places, and I'm talking not necessarily over it, but Joseph was pretty powerful by just doing what God said and being up under Pharaoh. Daniel wasn't running everything. But God used Daniel to determine the direction of a nation. So I'm not talking about what a lot of people are saying. You know, their viewpoint is, you know, we need to win. We need to be on the top. It's like, no, you just need to keep your job and be a disciple of Jesus Christ and abide with him, and you can influence culture from those areas. But it's a big one. I mean, there's huge things right now. And for example, we, as Christians, we can't say that the Constitution only exists when we want to exercise our rights. Because the Constitution is for America. So as Christians, we can say what the Constitution allows me to do is to be able to worship God freely. It says that I have the right to do this or do this or this type of thing. At the same time, we can't, as Christians, deny that same constitutional right to someone else. The thing is, we just got to stay out of that argument when it comes to that point. But we can say that, you know, that America was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and that's why God is blessing us. And if we go this other way, the blessing of God's going to be lifted off our country. But if I'm not living if I'm not being the light of God of the world, he commands us, be the light of the world. That's why we talk about it, our BFN TV, keeping the conversation light. You should be having these, you should be playing BFN radio, for example, at your work all day long. You should have a TV going somewhere in your workplace and just let it play. Because you're letting the light come into that situation right there. But if you're ashamed of the light, I mean, darkness is going to take over. And so, for example, if the Constitution applies to you and gives you certain rights as an American citizen, no matter what you think about your neighbor, they have those same rights. They have those same rights. And for some time in America, America's sins and the sins of our fathers, they denied those rights to the African Americans that were in this country. And that was totally unconstitutional. But guess what? Finally, you know, when Dr. King began to stand, which I believe was an apostle from the Lord that began to lead us to God's original intent for this nation, he says, I'm only holding you to what's written on the paper. He was bringing America to the Constitution, what was originally said, that we're all created by God. Our rights come from God. and we're all equal in the context of the law, and we all have those rights. And so we began to walk, you know, in that, thanks to what God did through Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so as Christians, we need to be have that viewpoint that we're not saying you can't have the First Amendment, but I can have the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing, what we believe is that if I love you and I demonstrate the kingdom of God before you, at some point in time, you're going to have a decision to make, you know, because God is real and he loves me and he has a plan for my life. Do I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? That doesn't come through force. It doesn't come through religion. It comes through love and following God. Look at Jesus. Not even a reed was bent by Jesus. It's not about violence. It's not about, it's the most violent thing you can do to the kingdom of darkness is to lay down your life for someone. To lay down, you know, what you want for what God wants. You know, and so that's a beautiful thing. Everybody, including Pharaoh, wanted Joseph working for him. So they're all going to be hunting up these people who understand the kingdom of God is within this person, and God listens to this person, and God gives them dreams. I remember Donna, my wife, was working for her boss. You know, God blessed this man because he had a praying administrative assistant, and his business continued to grow. Wow. His influence over the southeastern United States grew. But he had someone who was constantly praying for him, and he knew this, you know. And it makes a difference having a believer there. But if you're a religious zealot, you know, who is trying to, you know, sound like a Pharisee or something, they're going to, you know, all the hordes of hell is just going to devour you, and you're not doing anything any good. Secondly, if you just quit and walk away, all of your influence is gone. I mean, how many fathers said, you know, husband said, that woman's driving me crazy. You know, she's just driving me crazy. I can't take it anymore. I cannot live through this anymore. And so he walks out on her. He just divorces her. He leaves her. But guess what? He leaves his children with her. So whether he's right or wrong, if that's truly his belief, I'm not saying he's right or wrong, but if he really believed that she was evil and she was doing these evil things, why didn't you stay there and fight for the kids? You left your kids and what you yourself as a man couldn't even handle. You weren't willing to lay down your life to say, if it's true, if you really saw her that way, and if you really saw her that way, that she was damaging you and your family and the kids and all that kind of stuff, and you tell all your friends, I could not live with that woman, but you left your kids with her, what does that say about you? And how in the world can you look your kids in the face, and if that is true, they're going like, you left us with this woman. You know? You could have stayed there and fought for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you know, in the beginning of all the lies, going, I'm going to leave, but I'm still going to be there with you. You know, I'm going to leave, but I'm still going to have influence in your life. I'm still going to be your father. We'll see each other at least once every 2 weekends. We'll go to Disney World. And it's like, you know what you've done? You've lost your influence in that family. You've lost your influence in those kids' life. And this whole system of darkness is not going to back you up. It's going to be against you. And some other man's going to come in with different influence in you, and they're going to call him daddy. And you have to honor that because you walked out on it. Okay, that's an example. We're not talking about that unless we're talking about the family mountain of culture. You got to stay in your job because the second you walk out of your job, you've thought that the very same, if you divorce your job because somebody there is irritating, somebody there is trying to take this business in a dark area, if you just walk out, the whole thing turns over to darkness. The quickest way for a family to go to poverty is for a father to walk out on the children and a husband to walk out on his wife. It's the quickest way to go to all these destructive things that happen to the single mother and her kids. Statistically, we have the stats for you. What's going to happen to the businessman when you walk out of the business? What's going to happen? You think about it. If you'll stay there, God will give you wisdom. It may take a while. You may be in slavery for a while, like Joseph. You know, you may be, you know, working for, you know, evil employer for a while, like Joseph was doing. You may be falsely accused for a while, like Joseph was actually falsely accused of raping the boss's wife, you know, Potiphar's wife. It didn't happen. Then you may go to jail for a while, but you're thinking, I'm not in this for me. I'm not in this for me. So it doesn't matter. Don't worry about me. You know, I'm in this for you. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I'm just trying to, in that one moment, suddenly the leader of the entire nation gets a voice in his ear at night when he sleeps, the voice of God. And he gets another voice in his ear when he's awake, which is the cupbearer who had an experience with a man who understands this, and they called Joseph to the workplace, to the governmental mountain, and said, listen, we need your help here. I'm having a dream. God spoke to me. This is what's happening. He tells him what it is because God reveals it to Joseph, and guess what? Puts him as the number two man over all of Egypt. How many people would say, it can't be God because Pharaoh is evil. Pharaoh does not love Jesus. You know, Pharaoh is against, he has orgies going on. He's bowing down to these Dagon and Asherah, and he thinks he is God. How many people would have turned down Joseph's position because they didn't understand that God was putting Joseph there? He wants to put you there, but you're so self-righteous, you don't understand that you've got to stay in that place to affect it. And how to, you're not going to, not to take it over. God's not trying to save systems, but it's the people. That's where we are. We're in these different areas of culture. And all of a sudden, the entire nation begins to turn in a way that the voice of the Lord was able to bring in his people and put them in a land called Goshen to give them the best that Egypt had to offer. Why? Because of understanding what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this because we got to begin to have this conversation. What do we do? Do we just pack up our bags and go home and get on the religion mountain, which is in itself messed up as well?
Right.
And if we give over business, if we give over education, we give over government. And right now we have, as we speak, and we have, you know, businesses that are closing down because they don't want to bake a cake. And it's like, why not take a stand? Daniel took a stand. Yeah, it meant the lion's den, but God kept the lions off of them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand. Yeah, it meant the fiery furnace, but God stood with them and changed the nation. You can change a nation by not just throwing in your towel and say, take the mountain. You can. This is your opportunity before an entire world to be able to say, you know what? I'm just going to, in a loving, kind, gentle way, stand. And one thing right now, we have a magistrate we're about to see right now, and he appears to be so humble. He's a grandparent. He's raising his grandkids. And he's having, in his beliefs, he cannot, like we would say, we cannot marry two women or two men. But their constitutional right in America right now, you can't take these constitutional rights away from people in the context of that. But you can say, you know, I'm sure there's other judges around that can do that. But I need my job. I mean, how can I? Maybe I'll take the third watch. You got to hear this judge because I just felt like in my spirit that he understood. I mean, he's acting the way we need to be acting. We need to humble ourselves and say, how can we work this out, Nebuchadnezzar? I'm not going to bow down to this graven image, but I'm not going to tell everybody else how to live their life either. Because Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it was just people, and there was the opportunity for you to take a humble stand and be willing to lay down your life for what you believe in, and just whatever God does, does. But listen to this judge. I think it's beautiful how he is handling it. And because he's handling, notice a new law is going to be written for what he did. Watch, listen.
Pat, in North Carolina, at least six officials have resigned from their jobs rather than be forced to perform same-sex marriage ceremonies. Heather Sell spoke with one magistrate about his decision, what it's cost him, and where he goes from here.
John Callum has worked as a magistrate in rural Rockingham County for over a decade. During that time, he has closely watched the growing momentum of gay marriage and wondered what it might mean for him.
I had told some of my coworkers, if it ever gets down to that, where I'm asked to perform same-sex marriage, I'm not going to be able to do it.
That moment happened last month when a federal judge struck down North Carolina's marriage amendment. Callum told his supervisor, I can't perform a gay marriage. The following day, the state took its stand, comply or lose your job.
I showed up at 4 o'clock, ready for my shift. There was no discussion. It was just two judges reiterating what the administrative office of the courts had said, this is now the law. We're here to uphold the law. Therefore, you will do it.
Callum says he tried to keep his job, even offering to work the third shift to avoid marrying same-sex couples. But in the end, he felt he had no choice.
You know, Genesis 2:24 is pretty clear, you know, about marriage being instituted by God.
Callum says he relies on the word not only for this decision, but for the future. He and his wife are raising their grandchildren and had counted on his job.
You know, I'm an older person. I'm not a young person. I'm 66 years old. And I know that trying to find a job when you're 66 years old is kind of hard. if not impossible. But nothing is impossible in God's eyes.
His struggle may be just the beginning as gay marriage grows and acceptance for religious liberty fades. North Carolina Senate Leader Phil Berger believes the state courts can accommodate workers like Callum. He's working on legislation that would protect religious beliefs and lead the state courts to reverse course.
I think, unfortunately, what we've seen in North Carolina is a failure on the part of North Carolina to provide an appropriate accommodation for the religious beliefs of magistrates in particular.
For Callum's pastor, the situation has provided a reality check.
I told our congregation that if they can tell a magistrate last week, you have to perform this ceremony, what's to prevent them from telling me next week, I have to do it?
And Callum's stand is also bringing hope and encouragement to his community.
Strangers, people I didn't even know, who came up and said, you know, thank you for standing up, thank you for taking a position, and we appreciate you and we're praying for you.
Reporting in Rockingham County, North Carolina, Heather Sells, CBN News.
So we look at this magistrate, and he did not do what the other six did. The other six just resigned and left. So think about this. We're talking about First Amendment rights for everybody, including the people that were feeling differently than this magistrate felt. So we're not talking about everybody. Everybody has rights in America, equal rights. But understand that someone else's rights don't take away your rights. And the First Amendment rights tells us that you have a right to be able to practice, you know, freely without any laws being made against your religion. So you're not going to be able to go into an Islamic employee and tell her to walk contrary to her belief, because that's actually going it's her First Amendment rights to be able to do that. Secondly, it ain't going to happen if they're actually loyal to what's going on. But we think about this. I mean, think about the conscientious objector when it comes time for American citizens us to go out and to fight a war. If we have to fight a war, that we made a religious exception for those who, in their beliefs, that I can't kill. I mean, to me, that would be murder. And so we would actually give people a conscientious objection. So we honored their faith, like the First Amendment says. At the same time, other people went and fought. And I like what this man says. I mean, to me, that's the most humblest view I've heard yet, and why we're talking about it. Because he says, I want to stay here and be the light. I want to continue. I need a job. I'm not just giving this mountain of government over. What's it going to be like when you go to the judge as a Christian and you turn over every court bench to darkness? What's marriage going to be like? What's business going to be like? You can't leave the bench. You got to stay there like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if God says it's over, it's over. But I don't believe it's over if we'll just stand there, because God caused the lion's mouth to not bite them. You had the fiery furnace not burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we don't just walk away from it. You can't just give this mountain of culture over. Secondly, we don't hate folks, and we can't lie and say, you know, the constitutional rights, everybody has the same constitutional rights. It is what it is. And thirdly, we can't use Christian marriage today as an example for marriage, because the marriage, according to the biblical viewpoint of marriage, you know, it is all out of whack in so many different areas, according to Scripture. You know, it may not be what this or that, but it's definitely not in the order when you start reading what Scripture says. So we just need to live this way. We don't need to make everybody live our way. We just need to begin to be light in that mountain, you know, be love in that mountain. So there's a way that this law they're talking about, this legislature doing, that's the way to do it, where you can say, you know what, I'm the judge, is not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to go to war because I have a conscientious objection against killing folks or whatever. But I'm not saying other judges can't do that. What happens? He gets to stay there as light, and everybody knows he's light. And guess what? There's going to be a huge difference as things progress, because they're going to come to Joseph and they're going to say, listen, Joseph, I know we dogged you out. I know we falsely accused you. I know we put you in prison. I know that we enslaved you. But you know what? I just got this dream, and it's bothering me. Maybe it's over coffee or something. And they're going to come to you, and they're going to say, can you help me out? And you're going to say, you know, I don't do anything, but God, I believe God can give me the interpretation of this dream. I think he can give us a business strategy for this business. I believe that he can teach us how to educate kids without having the budget, whatever mountain it is. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be there because you didn't leave the mountain. You didn't leave the courts. And light's still there. They still have that viewpoint of going, you know, God's a just God. These are Mosaic type laws that we have on our books here. You know, the prudent man, the whole concept comes from the law of the Word of God, the Judeo-Christian values. And you can at least have some input into what's going on. And when it's a righteous, loving input, it's powerful. Because it's actually the creator of the universe. It's imparting that one moment at that one time. But if you do like these other six judges and just resign, and I'm not saying these judges, I don't know anything about these judges. Maybe they needed to resign. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying that they're righteous or anything. I'm just saying, imagine, though, if they were all Christians, they loved God, and they were the light, and all six candles walked out. Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, you are the light that shines before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven." Stay there. Keep the light burning. One way you can do that is turn on the radio. Turn on VFN TV, the radio program. Keep the light coming. It may be easy right now to do it, but if you do it now, maybe you won't enter into those dark times in your business, in your school, in your courthouse. Let everybody know, I'm here to stay unless you throw me out. I'm going to continue to do my job and be light in the midst of all this thing. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.